This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Last month, the Women, Family and Community Ministry came out in support of expanding the definition of rape in the Penal Code. The ministry engaged NGOs to come up with a national action plan to tackle violence against women. Among the many NGOs was the Association of Women Lawyers. This is its president, Go Siu Lin.
The Women's Ministry, they had a consultation to prepare a national action plan to fight violence against women. So that was held on the 26th of May, and they invited various women's groups and various stakeholders. So we gave our input, so hopefully that will see some, will bear some fruit. I mean, the women, to be fair to them, the Women's Ministry, they have been in this is the first time in some time where they have invited the NGOs and to seek our views on various provisions. Main areas would be, say, legislative reform, you know, maybe gathering of data, support services, things like that. And not just in the context of rape, but in generally violence against women. So that would include domestic violence reforms and maybe support services for the children, children of abused, abusive parents, maybe contact centres to meet the child in a safe location. We don't have that. Singapore has that, UK has that, but in Malaysia, I think we don't have this facility.
Last month, Bunya Jalung from Cebu was acquitted from 4 charges of rape by the Court of Appeals.
This is a case that involves the alleged rape of a 14-plus-year-old girl by a 60-year-old man in Cebu, Cebu, Sarawak. And there was a national outrage, and the main issue that was dealt with by the Court of Appeal was on the commission of the alleged rape, whether the prosecution had established rape as defined under our penal code.
She explains what Bunya was charged under.
So in this case, what happened was there were 4 charges against the accused. One was rape purportedly with consent. The other 3 were without consent and coupled with the fact that she was below 16 years of age. So unfortunately, in this case, the puzzling result was the court did in their judgment find that child was fathered by the accused. So the DNA reports were conclusive of his paternity.
Because the definition of rape rests on the technicality of penetration, there are complications in making sense of this case.
The problematic part was whether insertion of fingers, which led to conception of the child, is an act of rape, right? And then there is also this other fact which the Court of Appeal considered, which they say cast some doubts on whether act of rape had been committed. They referred to the testimony of a doctor who had said that it is very difficult for a child to be conceived when semen is introduced into the vagina by use of fingers.
So how can rape be legally defined?
As you know, the Penal Code defines rape as sexual intercourse. And it's a narrow definition because it is narrowly defined as penetration, sexual intercourse penetration of a man's penis into the vagina of a woman. So there are a few problems with that. It doesn't take into account insertion or rape using an object, or rape using a bodily part, such as in this case, the fingers. And now there's a system called digital rape, right? And the other issue that also is problematic from the perspective of women's groups is that marital rape is also not recognized. So these are the few areas that are problematic under the Section 375 of the Penal Code.
This is what she feels needs to be changed.
Expand the definition of rape to include penetration, not just penetration by the sexual organs, bodily parts, objects. There is also the need to expand the definition of rape to include marital rape because, like it or not, in our country, there are a lot of child marriages. And in child marriages, the bargaining power or the balance of power is really unbalanced. So a lot of violence and rape, marital rapes, are perpetrated all the time.
But what might come from expanding that provision?
If the definition of rape is widen, then obviously loopholes like this, you know, where the perpetrator gets off scot-free will be plugged. there'll be more successful convictions, hopefully.
Beyond the law, the legal process is often difficult and traumatic, especially for young girls. And Teo, the Vice President of Sarawak Women for Women Society, tells us more.
It's like you already, I mean, the women or the child already have the hurdle of reporting, number one, you know, what happened to them. And then the stigma that surrounds, you know, such type of crimes, you know. Yeah, so you will have to be quite, you have to have a lot of moral support and legal support, actually, to bring yourself through this trial, you know. You have to relive this trauma, relive this attack on you in the courts and before the judge, before everybody else that is inside, you see.
Over 500 cases of child sexual abuse were reported in just the first few months of this year. There is an average of 6 children assaulted every day from January to March. Many cases also go unreported.
The regular stats about rape is out of 10 cases, 9 go unreported. Not reporting is one thing. Then when they go into the court process already, you know, they have to bear with a lot of defense counsel saying a lot of things. They have to bear with judges who may not be that sympathetic, not be that empathic towards their, you know, what they've gone through, the trauma that they've gone through and so on.
In cases with similar judgment to the Bunia Jalung case, where the perpetrator isn't charged, Sulin advises on recommendations.
If the technicalities of rape cannot be proved, i.e. Insertion of a penis into a vagina, it can't be proved, then at least they could redress the injustice by proposing alternative or lesser charges under the Penal Code or under the Child Act. So at least, you know, the perpetrator, you know, does not walk away scot-free. I just find it really sad that, you know, child sex abuse cases are the most difficult cases to prosecute because, you know, the child is under so much trauma and we need to actually bolster the support system from training of officers to medical personnel to even follow-up psychological counseling services up to support even during trial. Perhaps a social welfare officer or a trained person or a trusted member of the family should be accompanying the child all the while. And we really have to protect our children because they're the most vulnerable. They should be enjoying their life, their childhood, and not, you know, be brought through the system and then just left without redress.
That was Goh Siew Lin from the Association of Women Lawyers. And earlier we spoke to Ann Teo of Sarawak Women for Women Society. I'm Cheryl Koh, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.